Good morning, Lake Country. Looks like we've got some announcements this morning. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we gather again before you this morning. We lift our hearts together as one, and we praise you in song and word for just who you are. Lord, ever we should remember that you hold all things under your power and might. Your throne is from everlasting to everlasting. For in your word we read of the great I am. You alone always have been, are even now, and always will be. Never have you never not been. Lord, we just praise your holy name this morning. A righteousness you declare from on high, and it flows from your throne of grace to all who would thirst and drink by faith from the water from your well of salvation and your eternal plan and purpose for the ages. Lord, these are wicked times, and yet your peace is the only peace, for you do rule in the kingdoms of men. You are the God Most High, and you give only as to whom you would choose to rule. We must keep these things in mind as your faithful and your servants and your children. For whether by your truth and your revelation or no, even under utter loss, you alone are able to appoint and preserve those who would trust and obey you. And we seek for these to search the scripture, that they would fix their eyes upon the author and finisher of our faith, and he, Jesus Christ, your precious provision promised to us in your garden. Lord, we just bless your holy name this morning. We seek your peace and your comfort for those among us here and away, enduring affliction and confusion, that they may find their joy in you, and that it would be made full to your glory alone. Lord, we ask you to bless our time in worship this morning. We ask your empowerment of Pastor Mike's message, which we find in your word, that for your purposes and for all who will see and hear your truth. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can tell in your bulletin, we are in the book of Daniel this morning, where a message will come. I believe we're in chapter 4. We'll read through verse 1 through 5. Daniel 4, 1 through 5. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples and nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from the generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts of my bed and the visions of my head troubled me.
Kids are always enjoyable, except when they're about 6 months old and it's 2 a.m. in the morning. Oh, me. You know, I called to each one of our attention last week, and the Lord brought to my attention the faux pas And I am prone to those. I will say that. I called our attention and appreciation to Brad and to Brenda, and certainly they deserve that. Sunday morning after Sunday morning, faithfully performing the things that they feel like God would have them do for us. Couldn't do without them. But there's others that I don't think that we could do without. Man sitting up here on my left and your right, Terrell. Terrell does a tremendous job in sound. And I should have brought your attention to him. He makes us sound good, those of us who stand up here. I didn't say look good, I said sound good. But we appreciate you so much and the service that you perform to our church. Then we have others like the foxes who take care of our vegetation and make our church look lovely and presentable as you walk in. And there's others, and I will try to think of them next week, but my brain's not working real good this morning. Young couple invited their elderly pastor for Sunday dinner, and while they were in the kitchen preparing for that, the minister asked the little boy there with him what they were having. The little boy replied, "Goat." "Goat," replied the startled man. "Are you sure about that?" "Yes, sir," said the young man. "I heard my dad tell my mom today is just as good a day as any to have the old goat for dinner." So, the way it goes. God's good. He really is. By the way, for any of you that are interested, I don't like goat. As we look into our lesson this morning in Daniel chapter 4, and let's look to the Lord in word of prayer as we begin. Father, we come to you this morning, and Father, we're so grateful that we can come to you at any time, day or night. Father, with things that are big or things that are small, things that we're excited about or things that we're worried about. Father, we can come to you and make those things known, and Father, you still our spirits. You encourage us, Father. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your word that you've preserved for us down through the ages, that we might this morning look into a book about four young men that were taken captive. Father, in that difficult situation where there were many unknowns, Father, you ministered to them as only you could. Father, where there was a wicked king, you will minister to him for his good. Father, we thank you that we can see these things from your word. It's for us today. Father, we ask your blessings upon this time together. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we think about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys that were with him, and they were young men, taken captive into this strange new world of this ferocious king who had probably his winds and war far exceeded his arrival there in Jerusalem and land of Israel as he came in to attack. And the forces of Israel failed to hold him back, and he took these young men as well as many others captive. I can just imagine as they laid their heads early on in their captivity on whatever they were given to lay on, and I'm sure that if they were not queen memory foam mattresses they had to sleep on. My thoughts are brought to the, what were they thinking? How at peace were they? Taken from everything they knew, from most of the people that were around them in their home, and brought here. Many of their countrymen died a ferocious death at the hand of Nebuchadnezzar's armies. Peace. Was it elusive to them? I don't know about you, but many times in my life, peace has been elusive. And as I remember back to those, some of those times, my mind is brought to the fact that God is able. God is able. As we face, as human beings here on this earth, as believers in a sinful world, not knowing what's going to happen to this country of ours, what's going to happen to us as individuals? Do we have enough as elderly people, have enough to funds to last us through the years remaining in our lives? Where's our peace? God is able. As Nebuchadnezzar had these young men under his control, he had some dreams, and we've mentioned those before, that troubled him. He didn't know what these dreams meant. And as you know, if you've been here in earlier Sundays, Daniel came to the rescue. And Daniel told him what the dreams meant. And Nebuchadnezzar was thankful. And he praised not only Daniel, but Daniel's God that Daniel worshiped. Then we find, following that, Nebuchadnezzar began to think of himself as something special. A reigning king, a victorious king, a ferocious man in battle. His troops never failed. He was king over the then known world. And so he built himself an image, a statue, solid gold. Thought that it would be good if the realm of his influence worshiped this one that portrayed his gods, and probably himself in his mind, he considered himself to be one worthy of worship. And his decree was, when you hear the music played, you bow down and worship this gold statue, this image, some 90 feet tall. I'm sure it was a glorious sight, solid gold. And I'm sure that Nebuchadnezzar was so proud of himself. And his decree was that all under his influence, when they heard the music, should worship this image. This was the man, or is the man, that told Daniel, "Your God is a superior God to my God." Just previous to this, however many years passed, I'm not sure, from his first declaration that Jehovah God was the God of all gods, he now has erected this image and decreed that all would worship this image. when they heard the music. Bow down and worship this image. And I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar, in his mind, saw this image as himself, that was due to be worshipped. That was his decree. Doesn't tell us why Daniel wasn't there for this in the vicinity, but the other three Hebrew captives, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were. And they vowed not to worship this image, not to bow down. Nebuchadnezzar had a treat for those who would not bow down. A fiery furnace. He heated 7 times hotter when these 3 Hebrew boys, young men, defied his decree. They, clad in everything that they had, clothes, headgear, whatever were on their feet, everything they had, they possessed, was put on, and they were cast into this burning, fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter than what it was normally heated. You see, Nebuchadnezzar demanded worship. If it was not to him, it was to worship like him. It has to be in Nebuchadnezzar's mind what Nebuchadnezzar wants. I've known some people that way. It's my way or the highway. I've known some people that way. Nebuchadnezzar was quite that way. But as his servants followed his dictate and cast these 3 young men into the fiery furnace, clad in everything that they owned, he looked into the fiery furnace, realizing that these men who cast these 3 young men into the fiery furnace were dead because of the heat of the furnace. He looked into the furnace and he saw not 3, but 4 in the furnace. And he called out to those that were in the furnace. And he told them to come out. And they came out. They went in bound. They came out unbound. They went in, I'm sure, maybe not as smelling as fresh as you and I probably feel like we want to be, because they were taken at a moment's notice, but they came out of the furnace, and not a smell of smoke or burn was on them. Their hands, the ropes were burnt off. They stood there, no singed clothes, no hair that had been burned off their heads. They stood before Nebuchadnezzar, whole, complete, and I'm sure rejoicing. Nebuchadnezzar inquired of them, and they explained to him their faith in their God. We find ourselves, Nebuchadnezzar, as we look into this passage of Scripture, Nebuchadnezzar loved Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar made mistake after mistake after mistake. And yet God had a special reason for Nebuchadnezzar to continue to exist. All of this cruelty to these Hebrew captives, and yet God had a purpose for Nebuchadnezzar. We'll be looking at that purpose this morning a little bit as we look into Daniel chapter 4. If you want to turn there with me, you may. But this chapter begins with the testimony of King Nebuchadnezzar. You see, he was taken back by these three Hebrew boys, their God. Nebuchadnezzar had seen their God at work. Nebuchadnezzar, a lot like us. We know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and yet we seem to gravitate to commit the same mistakes in our walk with Him that Nebuchadnezzar continued to make. This chapter begins as Nebuchadnezzar begins to relate to the three Hebrew captives what their God meant to him. They received his instruction, his comments, his compliments, and Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, verse 1, begins to tell of this terrible ordeal that he had been through. And he begins to say in chapter 4, verse 1, as Wes read this morning, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. This was a little bit different. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sure, was not used to putting out this kind of communication, where he says, peace be multiplied unto you. Most of the time, it is lay down your weapons, or you will be defeated, or you will be killed. But very seldom, I'm sure, the people around Nebuchadnezzar's domain did not often hear, peace be multiplied unto you. We find here in Daniel chapter 4 that Nebuchadnezzar, verifies, he rehearses, if you would, other portions of Scripture concerning the kingdom of God and how it is everlasting and how it is eternal. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, in his first encounter with dreams in the middle of the night, was concerned about his domain, his rule, his reign. We find here that Nebuchadnezzar will give evidence of his understanding that God is the king of this everlasting, eternal kingdom that God has in store. The kingdom of God exists today. It existed even in Nebuchadnezzar's day, the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is a everlasting, eternal, spiritual kingdom. We find that later revelations by the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us of that one kingdom that we people today, as then, must be born again to enter into this kingdom of God. We find Christ Himself, the Messiah. In John chapter 3, verses 1 and following, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, how can a man be born, or except he be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. This kingdom of God that Christ was speaking about, this kingdom of God differs from the kingdom of heaven, as declared only in the book of Matthew. Do you find the kingdom of heaven mentioned? And it's taught there, and in 32 verses in the book of Matthew, we find the reference to this kingdom of heaven. We might wonder, are these both the same? No, they're not. The kingdom of heaven is the literal earthly 1,000-year reign of the Messiah here upon the earth after the tribulation. Last 1,000 years. We find, though, that Christ was speaking about this kingdom of God. We find, as we look into the Word of God and further into this book of Daniel, chapter 4, we find that this kingdom of God is one that lasts forever and ever. It began back with the creation of man. And those who believed and followed the instructions in that period of time in trusting God entered into this kingdom of God. We read in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 describes this kingdom of God as being not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's spiritual and moral in its existence. As far as man is concerned, this kingdom of God has existed since man has been here. The Old Testament saints were born again, believers, for they were saved. Therefore, they entered into this kingdom of God that Nicodemus was wondering about. The Messiah told Nicodemus that he must be born again. And he could have been, although the Messiah has not yet gone to the cross. You see, faith, salvation has always been by faith, never by works, by faith. We read here in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1 and following, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. A communication that the rest of the then known world had never heard from Nebuchadnezzar. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. Nebuchadnezzar speaking, How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His domain is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. You see, this was not the first dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. In fact, he had had many dreams that caused him loss of sleep and concern as he was in his bed. We find here that years before, King Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream. He had forgotten it, couldn't remember it. He threatened to kill all of his advisors because they could not tell him the dream, nor could they tell him the meaning of that dream. But this time, Nebuchadnezzar was not angry with himself for not being able to recall the dream as before, but was indeed anxious to find its secret meaning, though he was afraid of its consequences. This mighty king, troubled by a dream, troubled by these things, receiving answers to some, still awaiting answers to others, how unhappy that man must have been. He was the supreme ruler of the entire known world at that time. Anything he wanted, he got. Anything he decreed came to pass. And yet, he possessed so little wisdom that he was afraid to interpret his own dream. You see, Nebuchadnezzar knew the law. He executed it. It was his decrees. He exercised his will as he wanted. He gave in to desire, but as far as knowing his laws, God's laws, and his, God's will, Nebuchadnezzar was powerless. You see, Nebuchadnezzar at that time did not have a personal relationship with this God of the Hebrew captives. We find in Daniel chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, and they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Once again, these ones that he called in were not able to decipher his dreams. As before, these unregenerated, wise men were not so wise. They were at a loss to interpret God's message to Nebuchadnezzar. And we find this time, Nebuchadnezzar still did not know what his dreams meant. We find that true in our own lives as well as others, no one can know all of the things of God but he who knows God. We cannot know all the things of God because we don't spend time with God in his word. We don't know all of the things of God because we do not give ourselves to understand, to be responsive, to be obedient to the things that we learn from the Word of God. You see, the unsaved cannot understand anything about the Lord, about God himself. The only thing they can understand is the gospel. And we who know Christ as our personal Savior, We who have been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We who have been instructed to make it understandable, the gospel that is, to make it understandable, to make it simple, we're disobedient. We have missed, and I'm including myself, we have missed many blessings that God would have for us in this life because of our inability to respond positively in obedience to what we see in the Word of God. You see, these wise men, quote-unquote wise men, that Nebuchadnezzar called before him once again to interpret his dreams, they could not. They could do wonders with some little dream that somebody tells them about. They can take and build upon that. Might be true, it may not be true, but they could do wonders with that. But with the revelation of God, they stood without an answer, without knowledge, as their darkened hearts showed, without peace, without comfort, without knowledge, Nebuchadnezzar found himself once again with the desire to know what his dream meant. As I looked at this passage of Scripture during the past week or so, I considered my own life. How faithful have I been through the years, day in and day out? Have I been obedient in my walk with the Lord as His child? Have I sought advice in troubling times from those who know God as their Savior, who have lives honoring and glorifying to Him? Have I sought advice, direction from them? I'm admitting to you this morning, no, I haven't. But I will say this morning, the times and opportunities that I have had to sit under what I consider godly men, not perfect, not sinless, but godly men who desired to be used by the Lord in reaching the lost. Today, those are the most valuable lessons that I've learned in my Christian walk. To be guided by. Their scripturally accurate advice have been such a blessing. Like Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not always obedient. But in those times when I have been, God is blessed. And this morning I'm convinced that we as God's people, if we would be obedient in our walk with Him on a daily basis, Sunday through Saturday, we would see such blessings in our lives. The peace, the comfort, the assurance. We'll find in the next week or so some interesting things about Nebuchadnezzar. Some difficulties that he goes through. I thank God that I have never gone through the difficulties Nebuchadnezzar is going to go through. But if that's what it takes, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be a lesson that we can take great, great stock and benefit from. Daniel chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace. Father, your patience, long suffering, Father, with us when we are so many times disobedient children. When we think of ourselves more than what we should. Father, we're still in this old earthly body. Never will this earthly body be changed into anything that's worthy of dwelling with you forever and ever. But we thank you, Father, for that new birth that comes when we trust Christ and what he's done for us to get us to heaven. That spirit birth. That we'll live for you, with you, and for you forever and ever. Father, we thank you for the truth of Scripture. Father, we thank you even at this time for those times in our lives that you have instructed us when we've been disobedient. We thank you for those times. Many times hard times. Many times unpleasant times. Father, above all profitable times, because you have the very best in store for us as your children. May we walk as your children. May we talk as your children. May we share as your children this morning. Father, bless this church. And we give you the honor and praise. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.